Just suppose for a minute that you had been one of the disciples around the Sea of Galilee those 3 years when Jesus Christ was teaching them, and you heard his voice, and you heard the tone of his voice as he was preaching. You saw his hand gestures as he was preaching, and you were able to look directly into his eyes and his eyes into yours as he just imparted treasure after treasure after treasure. Just imagine the impact that that would have had on your life if you could have been there. He was a master teacher. He was brilliant at the use of parables, and he spoke with authority, but only once. Only one time in the scriptures do we read that the disciples asked him to teach them anything. And it happened in Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I wonder why he asked that question. I suspect that he saw that when Jesus prayed, things happened. "Lord, teach us to pray." In my imagination, everybody got quiet and people leaned in to see exactly what he was going to say. And then he gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. And this is how he began it. He said, "Well, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father." Our what? I mean, the Jews had a title for God, and the title was Yahweh. And they considered that word so holy that they wouldn't even spell it out. Holy Yahweh. And Jesus says, "Father." What an intimate, wonderful term to call God. What an awesome, radical, and unexpected gift Jesus gave to those disciples and to us that day. Our Father. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek. That's why we often talk about what the Greek words literally means. But Jesus did not speak Greek. Jesus spoke Aramaic. And the word he used in Aramaic for Father was the word Abba. Abba. Most scholars say that the word Abba in the original language was even more intimate than the word Father. And they would go so far as to say, Abba is equivalent to our word today of daddy. Jesus, when you pray, pray, daddy. Can you imagine? Just try to fathom what they must have felt at that moment. Now, if it sounds like sacrilege to sensitive ears, that's our problem, because Jesus invited you to sit on God's lap. Wow! In the Greek translations of the New Testament, the Aramaic word Abba is found three times. It's found in Mark chapter 4, Romans chapter 8, and Galatians 4. And in each of those three passages, it is rendered in English as Abba, comma, Father. Abba, comma, Father. Why? Because the translators wanted to have the Greek word Father there, but they wanted to add that Aramaic word, which was even more intimate, of Abba, to underscore the intimacy that Jesus was inviting us to have with God. Let's review those three examples. In Mark 14 first, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus cries out. He says, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Do you see the connection there between intimacy with God and obedience to God? God's in control. He is the authority. The two other examples are from Paul. The first one is Romans 8. And Paul said, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. I'll stop right there. I have a future sermon coming up on fear. Get ready. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Look around this room. Do you see any children here? Well, guess what? The room is full of children. We're all a child of God. We're all children of God. Daddy, children, God declares you are his child. That third example is in Galatians chapter 4. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now here's the application. Sometimes things get so messed up in life and so difficult and so confusing and so deep that we just do not know how to pray. Been there, done that? Yes. So Abba Father has given us the Holy Spirit who can pray for you. Not just with you, but for you. What a gift. What a marvelous gift. So let's make this request today. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like you pray. God's answer is, okay. Well, let's start with this. Accept the intimacy that I am allowing you to have with me because of my son, Jesus Christ. And promise me a solemn promise that you will obey me. Do you see the weight and the power of those two words, our Father? And by the way, if you do not acknowledge his authority over your life, then you are declaring yourself as the ultimate authority in your life. And I think we both know how that will go. Do you realize the enormity of this gift that he's given you to approach him as Father, as Abba? I mean, as a child, as a teenager, I was Sunday schooled, I was churched, I was baptized, and I was a good Presbyterian. Never missed a Sunday morning. I sang in the choir. I played the piano for the men's Bible class on Sunday morning and heard the teachings. I played the pipe organ in the worship service for years. I prayed the Lord's Prayer with everybody, out loud, with confidence, like everybody else. But no one ever told me what it meant. I had no idea what I was saying. I just said it because that's what we do. No one ever told me that I could have an intimate, personal relationship with God. I mean, if truth be told, I did not have much of a relationship with my earthly father. he and I didn't have a lot in common. He worked all the time, so he was absent all the time. He would come in about 9:30 at night after leaving first thing in the morning. Mom would have his supper ready in the stove, on the stove, you know. And he would drink himself to bed. I didn't know the man very, very well. So my concept of a father was kind of a neutral concept. And if any of you had a great dad and you have good memories of your dad, I envy you. But then something happened to me. In my late teens, there was a traveling preacher who came to our little Presbyterian church and had some Sunday night meetings. I mean, that's something only the Baptists do, you know. But it happened in the Presbyterian church. And he said something that I had never heard before. If any preacher had ever said it to me before, I didn't hear it. My heart didn't hear it until that day. And I want to break in here and say that applies to all of us. I mean, you're listening to me talk right now. At least I hope you are. But are you hearing God's voice speaking through me to you? Are your spiritual ears open? Okay, here's what that preacher said that I heard for the first time. He said, we may have an intimate relationship with God. I mean, just exactly what I've been saying. We may have an intimate relationship. Don't miss that point, brothers and sisters. Don't miss that point. You can have an intimate relationship with God. When he uttered those words, I felt the way the disciples must have felt when Jesus started that prayer. I felt dumbfounded and confused, incredulous, challenged. But it stuck with me. It stuck with me. And I decided to pursue that over the years and find out what in the world is he talking about. And that was the beginning of an awesome journey with God that has not stopped. It's still going on today. God is my heavenly Father, and he is as close to me as my breathing. Praise his name. And I hope you can say the same thing. I learned, much to my surprise, in that whole process, some of the attributes of my heavenly Father. For instance, he provides for me. He provides for me more than I deserve. He protects me even when I don't realize it. I see some of you shaking your head. I love that. You can say amen out loud, too. I love that. He leads me even through dark valleys and difficult times. He leads me. He's a great caregiver. And he is the ultimate teacher. And here's another thing I learned. Those early disciples had a clear image of exactly where God was. They thought, at one point in time, they thought he was in the Ark of the Covenant. And later they thought, okay, he's in the tabernacle, the tent. And then later they thought he was in the temple. That's where he was. And as Christians developed over the years, some of them tried to localize God. And they felt his presence in the crucifix. They felt his presence in a painting. They felt he indwelt a statue. Or perhaps maybe he was in the stars. All kinds of places they tried to localize God. But Jesus said, our Father, who art in heaven. Where's that? Simple minds would say heaven is up. It can't be. If that's true, the people on the other side of the globe right now are looking down to heaven. And the people on the sides of the globe right now are looking out to heaven. And we are the only ones right. And we're only right once every 24 hours. And simple minds also think that heaven is far, far away somewhere. That can't be either. If it were, Jesus would have turned to the thief on the cross and he said, eventually you shall be with me in paradise, but it's a long trip. No, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Heaven, here's open ears, heaven is wherever God is, and God is everywhere. Jeremiah 23:24, God said, can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? So is God out there in the foyer right now? Yes. Is God in this room right now? Yes. Is God sharing that seat with you right now? Yes. He's as close to you as your skin. He is as close to you as your heart beats. Accept him. Embrace him the way he accepts and embraces you. I guess that means he's sitting there with me when I watch Netflix and Prime Video and HBO Max. Ouch. I guess that means that he is with me when I talk about any of you behind your back. Of course, I would never do that. Would I? And I guess that means that he knows if your excuse is valid when you say, I didn't have time to read the Bible this week, or whenever you make a choice to not come to church. Let's move on. All of that I'm talking about right now is for the other parts of the Lord's Prayer. Let's stick with the subject for today. I heard a father say something amusing. He said, Father's Day is the one time of the year when I get complete obedience from every member of my family. I tell them not to spend a lot of money on me, and they don't. Poor guys. Poor dads of the world. But it made me think, materialism is not the best way to honor our fathers, our earthly fathers, on Father's Day. Nor is it the best way to honor our Heavenly Father on the Lord's Day. I mean, yes, he expects us to give. He expects us to give cheerfully. He expects us to give obediently. He expects us to give willingly. And that's something that you do very well in this small fellowship. But is there enough money in the world to express how much you love him? No, there's no way. Oh, you could write a bigger check. Would that please him more? Well, perhaps it would, but it will never be enough. It will never be enough because he wants you. He wants you. He wants you. If you don't feel close to God today, who moved? Don't settle for anything else other than Abba. You may say, well, Harry, how do I do that? Well, a lot of people ask that question, how do I do that? And so many have come up with what's called a 6-step program to gain intimacy with God. If you don't believe me, Google it. It's right there. It comes up regularly. Those 6 steps are pray every day, withdraw to a quiet place and have a quiet time with God. read the Bible, spend time with other believers, attend church regularly, and then live out your life for Jesus Christ. And you know what? There are countless Christians wearing themselves out, going through all six of those steps, and they still don't feel close to God. And the reason is that program left out something important. Surrender. Surrender. Start there. Surrender to God. In Rockefeller Center in New York City, there's a famous statue of Atlas holding the world on his shoulders, all the muscles straining. Right across the street is St. Patrick's Cathedral, and behind the high altar at St. Patrick's, there is a small statue of Jesus as a boy holding the world in one hand, effortlessly, at peace. You can try to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders like Atlas, or you can surrender control of the world to Abba. And you can know the peace of Jesus Christ when you do. That's his gift. That's his invitation to you. Hallelujah. Surrender. We probably ought to be singing I Surrender All in a few minutes, but we're not. You can do that when you get home. In the car. Before you get home. We're almost done. But here's one other word that's at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer that we should not gloss over, and that is the word our. Our Father. Jesus did not teach us to pray my Father, but our Father. That's partly why we call each other brothers and sisters. As the song goes, we are family. I don't think that's in the hymnal, but the concept is. And the head of the family is Abba, Father. And he loves you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me equally. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, Lord, I hear you. I surrender. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, what a wonderful gift you have given to us to even approach you as our Father. And we, and Lord, in return, give you the gift of our worship and honor, respect and obedience. We thank you for all that you are to us and all that we can be through you and all that we will be in the days to come. Thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.